The World in Words is made possible in part by the National Endowment for the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence, and by PRI's The World.
I'm Nina Porzucki, and you are listening to The World in Words, a podcast about languages and the people who speak them. And this week, I have a very special guest with me in the studio.
Yay!
That is Maria Muriel, my colleague, and I am handing over the reins of the podcast to Maria. Where are we going today, Maria?
We're going to Miami!
Yay! Yeah, I could use a little Miami. It's pretty cold
It was pretty cold today.
In Boston. So you are a Miamian.
I'm a Miamian. Is that the way you say it?
That's correct. We're Miamians.
A Miamian.
Yeah. And as a Miamian, Maria, you, like a huge percentage of Miamians, are bilingual, right?
That's right. I speak Spanish. I've spoken Spanish all of my life. Can you tell? I don't know if you can tell. I've been told my English is very good by some people who probably didn't know they were being condescending. Of course my English is good. I've lived in this country since I was 11 years old. But I did work hard to lose my accent. When my family moved from Peru to the U.S., a lot of kids made fun of me for it. A mix of shame and youthful insecurity drove me to get rid of my Spanish accent. But I never got rid of my Spanish. I never had to, because we moved from Peru to Miami. And Miami is such a bilingual place, right? Lots of people speak two languages, and for a lot of them, it's English and Spanish. But some of us do speak Spanish in this funny way, and I'm including myself here. My parents are my barometer for that Spanish funniness. My mom says people in Miami speaking Spanish on TV sometimes drop the articles, like saying people instead of the people, which is fine in English, right? But that's not really how Spanish is spoken.
Personas, no dicen las personas están ta 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 ta, sino personas.
And in Miami, our English changes a lot too. The Miami accent is a beautiful thing, really. And it's not just an accent, it's a way of speaking. We love our language quirks so much, some local actors got 2 million views on a video called Shit Miami Girls Say.
Hello.
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 Hello. How are you?
How are you?
Can you hear that charming, super Southern sing-songiness? That's another thing we do. We say super. Super.
I am super bloated.
Super white.
Super faded.
Super hungry.
Super constipated.
Ew, super gross.
Super everything. Everyone speaks Spanish in Miami, because there are so many Latinos there that it's sometimes called the capital of Latin America. Back in the 60s, a whole bunch of Cubans left their island to come to my hometown. They made it a second Cuba, almost, so they could live there the way they couldn't live back home, where communism was wreaking havoc. So today, Miami is salsa and Cuban coffee and black beans and Spanish. But it's not true that everyone speaks it. Some people have to try really hard, like my friend Alicia, who's ordering food here at Enriqueta's Cafe downtown.
Okay. Café con leche, sin azúcar, por favor. Y también frijoles negros y arroz amarillo.
Arroz blanco.
Oh, solo arroz blanco? Okay, bueno. Gracias.
Solamente.
She's doing pretty good, actually.
I'm impressed. I think you've gotten, like, a lot better since the last time we were here and I heard you talking Spanish.
Because if you don't know some Spanish here, you are definitely missing part of the picture of what it is to live here. As a newsroom, we offer Spanish classes to our staff.
Alicia was my editor when I worked at WLRN, the public radio station there. She thinks it's important to know Spanish in Miami, especially for journalists who might have to interview Spanish speakers who don't speak English.
It's a survival skill in Miami. I really feel like if you don't know some Spanish in Miami, then you are definitely missing a lot of what it means to live here. I mean, and a lot in terms of the culture of what this place is and what it means, but also literally like a lot day to day of what's going on.
Alicia's from New York, and she's not Latina, but she's not mad about this. She just thinks it's the reality. And it's important to learn Spanish because Miami is so bilingual. Except, in some ways, it really isn't. Almost 70% of people in Miami-Dade County are of Latin descent. But we don't really conduct government or education in Spanish. And for a long time, bilingual education has been a hot issue in Miami. I mean bilingual education like going to school and learning math in Spanish, then science in English. Some people call that dual language immersion. And that's not the norm in Miami right now. Kids just take Spanish class like a foreign language, the way most people do. Like I took French in high school for about an hour a day.
We have school districts in Utah who have fully established, totally articulated dual immersion bilingual education programs. And in Miami, the best we can do is do an hour of Spanish as a foreign language. To me, that's not right.
Philip Carter is a linguistics professor at Florida International University, which, like most of Miami-Dade County, is majority Latino. And here's the thing about this very weirdly Latin place. A lot of us Miamians speak Spanish because our families do, but some Miamians born in Miami and their children aren't so good at reading or writing it. In his linguist speak, Philip says this is being fluent but not proficient. And he says we've lost our reading and writing chops, our fully bilingual education, because of politics. But it wasn't always this way.
Bilingual education movement in the United States was actually pioneered here in the 1960s. And this was on account of the political will of Cuban exiles who came at the end of the revolution in 1959, 1960, 1961, 1962, who said, when we go back to Cuba, our kids need to be able to speak Spanish. And that was a compelling argument. Of course, they did not, in fact, go back. They stayed, and Miami became what it is today over the ensuing half century. But they made a compelling argument, and it was understood pragmatically. Okay, this makes good sense. There's this population here. They need both languages. Let's open a school. And it was so successful that people came to Miami. School districts from around the world came to Miami to study the Cuban-American experiment with bilingual education. And that lasted sort of through the 1970s, and then, boom, the 1980s came. Suddenly the language issue became politicized. Things got shut down, and you started getting laws that were passed to make English the official language of the state and official language of the county and so forth.
He says this brought forward a sense of shame. A shame in speaking Spanish, even in a place like Miami. At first, I didn't understand what he was talking about. Remember Alicia, my friend who tries really hard to speak Spanish?
Entonces, estamos aquí a Enriquetas.
But it's more than just Alicia. I remember this Venezuelan lady on a bus one day, yelling at the driver because the driver didn't speak Spanish. The woman was saying, "This is Miami. You should speak Spanish." So where's the shame? Philip doesn't like my story. He thinks the woman on the bus misrepresents the attitude towards Spanish in Miami.
A lot of the anecdotes that I hear about speak to me in Spanish are coming in working class neighborhoods and in poor neighborhoods. In affluent neighborhoods, you never find people demanding speak to me in Spanish.
I mean, I don't know about this. I have wealthy friends on both sides.
So we do hear lots of anecdotes, but I want to know who are the people and where is it happening? Because it's certainly not happening on the school board.
This is his thing. He thinks the absence of bilingual education is key to what's wrong with language in Miami.
I don't disagree that those things happen in Miami, that people do say speak to me in Spanish. What I'm trying to call attention to is, why do we get head up over that? And nobody gets upset over the fact that we have 500,000 school children coming through Miami-Dade Public Schools getting no Spanish. And we're a Hispanic majority city. But yet we care about somebody on a public bus. That's the thing that we're going to get upset about.
Why do you care so much about this? You're not even Latin. Why are you blushing?
Well,
but really, what is it about this that drives you?
I care about social justice. I learned Spanish as a young child from undocumented immigrants from Mexico and North Carolina, which is where I grew up. And for many, 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 many years, I saw the struggle they went through because of language-related issues. Not only questions of access, so like, can you get around? You know, do you have access to the institutions? But also these issues of shame. Are you assumed to be a particular type of person because of the language that you speak?
Yes, this is the shame Philip's been talking about. And after talking with him a couple times, I couldn't believe I hadn't gotten it at first. Because I felt that shame myself. I was in middle school when my family moved to the States. And kids that age can be so mean. I learned pretty quickly what not to be, what was not cool or good in the eyes of Miami tweens. One of those things was my accent. It wasn't cool. They called it refy, like from the word refugee.
That guy's mad refy.
It was a fairly nuanced insult for a middle schooler, I guess. It was a jab at that very large community of Cuban exiles I mentioned earlier. There's a whole thing here. The first wave of Cuban immigrants largely consider themselves and largely were of higher socioeconomic status than the waves of people who came later. So there's a bit of snootiness that comes with that. People who are fresh off the boat, or balseros, the ones who came on rafts, they're typically portrayed as having a certain kind of fashion sense, taste in music, as living in certain areas. They're stereotyped. So all those things associated with newcomers become refy. And those people become refs. And they likely don't speak English yet. Or they do, but not well. They sound refy. I didn't know how mean this was when I was little. I just knew that I didn't want to be called a ref. So I worked really hard to get rid of my accent. And I made friends with kids who lived their lives only in English, even if they were Cuban, Colombian, Nicaraguan, or whatever. I worked hard to assimilate into my very United States Latino suburban community of mean kids. And it worked. So much so that eventually it became weird among some of my friends that my parents didn't really speak English. I went from moving in the most Spanish circles of suburban Dade County to some of the least. To this day, most of my friends from high school speak primarily English. I'm not gonna lie, I adopted some of those views back then. And I see how they still surface today. Sometimes I don't like to speak Spanish, but it's usually because I'm rude and immature and I don't want to make a conversation with a stranger. But it's not just about the words that come out of someone's mouth. It's about what starting a conversation with a stranger in Spanish says about the person speaking. Like when I go out to dinner with my family and my dad automatically speaks to a server in Spanish. For whatever reason, he just decides they're not a gringo and he speaks to them in Spanish. And then that server treats him rudely for so obviously being a person who prefers to speak Spanish. Or maybe the server treats him rudely for assuming that they speak Spanish too. That they are like him. But my dad thinks that's just what you do. He says it doesn't make sense for someone to not speak Spanish if they know how to. He likes to do it because he's better at it than English. And thinks when people don't like to speak Spanish, it's because they're ashamed of their culture or want to assimilate faster. So, that's kind of like I did. I didn't realize this when I was talking to him. I never felt like I was ashamed of my heritage. I'm actually really proud of being Peruvian, and I'd never want to pretend I'm not. But when I'm out at dinner with my family, I'll usually step in when the server looks uncomfortable and just place everyone's orders in English. It's just easier that way. But as I've been working on this story, I can't avoid one of my truths. I think part of me is still afraid of those mean kids from middle school. Part of me still wants to be the opposite of refy. But a larger, better part of me understands that that's bullshit. I'm not ashamed of who I am. And I'm certainly not ashamed of my parents. When I went home to do this story, we ended up just chatting on the couch. We talked about how I used to translate all my school papers for them.
¿Les pareció a ustedes raro? ¿Les molestaba?
I asked them if it ever bothered them that at 11, I had to translate everything for them, and in a way be the leader of certain family things that parents usually took care of. But they said no. They said they were proud of me. And I'm proud of them too. When my dad first came to the States, he went to a job agency. He'd never had any foreign language training, and he was here alone. The rest of us were still in Peru. My dad had moved to Miami a year earlier than us to get settled and find, you know, like, a house for us. And he did odd jobs till he found full-time work. My mom starts telling the story and makes fun of my dad for lying on the job application.
60%.
He said he spoke English, but only 60%, which was a lie. He spoke nothing. But Mrs. Robbins called. She was a very rich woman, and he was interviewing to be her handyman. He went to her house for the interview. She lived in a mansion on Star Island in Miami Beach, and Madonna and Gloria Estefan were her neighbors. When he got there, he said to her the only English phrases he knew.
Sí, le dije, good morning. Nice to meet you.
He did what he could.
Y me dio trabajo por seis años.
She hired him because his birthday was a day before her daughter's. And he worked there for 6 years. They used to give us Christmas presents even though they were Jewish.
¿Y ahora qué porcentaje de inglés tienes?
Ahora llevo el 60%.
Now, he really is 60% fluent in English. And that's pretty good for roughly 15 years. Especially in a place like Miami, where so many people speak Spanish, especially among the working class. My parents didn't need to be fluent in English as much as immigrants in other cities do. But if they had moved to another city in the U.S., they would have learned much more quickly. I left Miami earlier this year. I live in Boston now. And I find myself speaking Spanish more often, actually. In Miami, my Spanish and mi Latinidad, my Latinness, it was a given. Most of us somos Latinos in Miami. In Boston, I'm among white people mainly, and I find myself asserting my heritage in ways I never did back home. I don't avoid speaking Spanish anymore, unless I don't want to chit-chat on a long Uber ride. I'm ashamed I ever used to pretend I didn't speak it, and I'm even more ashamed that I was ever ashamed of my accent. Now I live in a place where I feel I need to stand up for my heritage and own it more fully, where it would be much easier to lose my Latin roots. And it's so much harder to find good Cuban food.
Hard to find good Cuban food.
It is.
And good Mexican food.
As a girl from LA, I get really homesick when I start thinking about mole.
That's like me and
tacos,
vaca frita, and like all of the empanadas. I can't handle it.
Barbacoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
Well, that is all for this week. Thank you so much, Maria, for taking over the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Nina. Thank you for having me. I also, though, before we go, want to thank DJ Les Spam of Miami's own Spam All-Stars.
Woo-hoo.
This that you're hearing is their track Ruby Carrot from their new album, and you can check out that album at spamallstars.com.
And Maria, where can people find you on the internet?
People can tweet at me. Give me all the tweets at Maria Muriel. That's Muriel with two R's.
And you can tweet at Patrick and I at Lingopod. As always, thanks so much for listening.
El programa World at Words es posible en parte gracias al Fondo Nacional para las Humanidades, celebrando 50 años de excelencia. Y también gracias al programa The World, de Radio Pública Internacional.
Adiós.
Adiós. Hasta pronto.
Hasta pronto.
Hasta luego.
Luego.
Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
Wow. Well, you know, like, Spaniards say it so
luego.
Funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like it's like, I don't even know what happens to Luis. It's like,
well, I think just also in the Caribbean, like, the thing is that you don't pronounce consonants in different regions, so it's just like,
vowels.
Ah, wow, wow.
Yeah.